Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing old windows for smoother operation and home comfort. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The St. Louis region is nestled at the confluence of two of the largest rivers in the nation, the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. These bodies of water serve as a conduit of commerce, entertainment, transportation, and deep cultural relevance and history. Alina Brazier is an artist born and raised in East St. Louis, Illinois. Themes related to the Mississippi River show up regularly in her pieces, going back to her time in art school when she commuted to and from St. Louis for school and work. The Mississippi River is also directly connected to her own family history.
This time, I was also thinking about my family, my father's family. So it was my great-grandfather, and they were in the 1917 East St. Louis Massacre, and they had to escape across the river to St. Louis, North St. Louis. And they lived in St. Louis for about 5 years, then went back home across the river to East St. Louis. And that is the pivotal moment for me, is me going to grad school and making art, learning, and then knowing that that same river, that same bridge, is where my family later in history had crossed for survival and freedom.
Now, these themes and personal histories are part of a new exhibit at the Contemporary Art Museum called Make the River Present. The curated interdisciplinary show is up until August 10th. And here to talk about the inspiration for the exhibit and the art that is in it, we welcome Michelle Dezember, Director of Learning and Engagement at the Contemporary Art Museum. Hello.
Hello.
We also have multidisciplinary artist Dale Chambers and writer and speaker Galen Gritz. Hello to you as well.
Hello.
Hi.
And thank you all for being here today. Now, Michelle, you and Alina co-curated Make the River Present, and Alina shared that the idea for the exhibit came from you. Where or how was the idea born?
Well, part of it came because as a larger piece, the museum was looking at an exhibition called Like Water and how water is a source of inspiration and poetic influence for artists. But as a transplant to St. Louis, I moved here about 5 years ago, I had kind of assumed that I was going to have a really strong, daily visible relationship with these mighty rivers that you mentioned. And I was sort of disappointed at how much effort it took me to connect with them. Mm-hmm. And so I did what I do. I looked to artists, and I came to know Dale's work and how much this kind of journey in her own ancestral past has connected her with the river. I came to know the work of Monique Verdan, who's an artist that lives in Louisiana and had done research on the headwaters of the Mississippi River, which are called Lake Itasca, but they actually have a much longer indigenous name and history. Mm-hmm. And in learning about these histories, especially learning about one of the figures that really helped maintain the connection to the waters through poetic and artistic practices, I remembered that artists are always helping us maintain right relationships and connections to place, at least especially the ones we like to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's how this exhibition came about.
So Make the River Present, it specifically exhibits artworks that explored the relationship between Black Americans and Native Americans and the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. And we just heard from Alina about her familial connection to the Mississippi River. Was there something that drew you to those histories in particular, Michelle?
Yeah, I want to call back to this artwork that Monique Verdan has up in the museum, because there's a story that I think just it's brief but important to share. Monique had been making at an artist residency at the headwaters, which are of the Mississippi River, which is Lake Itasca. But that word is actually a Latin conjugate word. It's the words veritas caput, mm-hmm. and kind of put together into a portmanteau of Itasca. And that name was given in 1831 by a U.S. government expedition by Henry Schoolcraft. And he was joined by his wife, Jane Johnson Schoolcraft, who was a woman of Ojibwe and Scots-Irish descent. And her Ojibwe name is actually Bamewawa Gezikakwa. And that name means woman of the sound that the stars make rushing through the sky. And she's actually one of the first published poets of Native American ancestry in current day United States. And I just, like Monique, was really taken by what does it mean to look beyond the restrictions and the borders and the confinements that humans so often place in this kind of wrong relationship with nature, and how artists can help us remember and reconstitute that right relationship that is in balance and harmony. And we have so many examples for so many years, in particular from Black and Indigenous artists, writers, and also just people living creatively through constraints. Mm-hmm. And so that was what helped us really kind of center in those stories as a starting place.
Right. Now, Galen, you are a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, and you've joined St. Louis on the Air in the past to discuss history, you know, past and present, and the representation of the Cherokee Nation and other Indigenous American tribes. In your view, how well do people in our region, and this region is where you have grown up, how well do we understand the historical and cultural relevance of these two rivers?
I think to a large degree, we are unaware of that. We're so wrapped up in our electronic world, in our transactional economic world, making a living, seeking leisure time. But it's very, very important that we have a relationship to it. It's relatively easy to shake off the mortal coils of our upbringing, of our culture, our education, and really engage the reality of nature and life. But so many of us have lost that ability to do that. I established it at 25 years old in 1977 when my maternal grandmother had passed, and I was tired of going to wakes and things with my family. I love my family. So I grabbed a few beers and went down to the river under the arch and sat as closely as I could in December without getting my feet wet and drank a beer or two and contemplated how the river is what brought ultimately my grandmother to this area and ultimately my mother and her generation and ultimately us. But so many of us had forgotten that.
Right.
It was the river that drew people here originally.
Dale, your connection to nature is a major aspect of the art that you make and also of the activism that you engage in here in St. Louis as well as in other parts of the country. What is it that you have perceived about how most people in the St. Louis region engage with our waterways?
I want to first say thank you so much to our Osage and Eleni Kin, who has been stewarding the river and the land in this area way before any of us on this call or on this interview. And I can't say anything about myself without honoring that first. And then I want to challenge us to consider what activism is. And we can activate on a daily basis and make it a part of our life practice. And that will intersect in how we frame our realities. As an artist, it's important for me because the river, I share a heritage of Native ancestry as a Black American woman now. So it's important for me to stay connected to the nature so I have a right understanding into how to heal from disease and the effects of urban issues dealing with public health, as well as understand that the water supersedes what we see as the river because the river route has changed, as well as how we associate with the river also shows up in the air and the soil.
There's a kind of physicality and like embodiment. I had referred to bodies of water, and I'm really getting that feeling, you know, from what you're sharing, Dale. Now, Dale, you and Galen, you were both tapped to participate in this exhibit because your art so often reflects these connections to nature in a broad sense. How is it that the Mississippi or Missouri rivers show up in your art practice, Dale?
Well, for me, I spend much of my time in contemplation, like my fellow interviewee here, Galen, at the river. I also am a part of and founded North St. Louis Waterkeepers through the field school with Lynn and Jen Pohlmeyer that Elena and I are also a part of, mm-hmm. as well as Monique Verdan. But also I have an ancestral story that I bring out with my artwork that involves my family's migration history, as well as I'm one of the people who still cleans up other folks' pollution.
Right.
So I spend a lot of time picking up rubbish as a way to incorporate some sort of direct impact as I collect materials for my sculptures and installations.
And that migration history, Dale, can you share a little bit about that?
Well, I have one great-grandma, her name is Pearl Miller, that came here from Oklahoma during the time of Trail of Tears and things. She married her second husband here in St. Louis, who had traveled up from New Orleans. And on that other side of the family, I have family that came here through the American Black Migration and married the descendant of Pearl Miller. Her name is Evelyn Miller, and my family member Dewey Haynes, which is my grandfather, had a family here in North St. Louis, and now I'm here attempting to heal some of the trauma and misdirection and social impact of four generations of my family.
Yeah, it's amazing that you have that much information. Galen, what about in your art practice? How have these rivers flown through or flowed, maybe flown too, through your work?
Well, for me, being historically minded, it's important to remember that it was only 352 years ago that non-natives showed up here. This was all native, both in Illinois and Missouri, had been for at least 14,000 years. And that's a whole different gestalt of living and being. So when Marquette and Juliet came down from what we now know as Wisconsin in the canoe 352 years ago and started the encroachment of first European and then Americans, things have changed dramatically. So 85% of the wetlands in this area have disappeared and 99% of the prairies. The damming of the rivers, putting in levees, things of that nature. So it's hard for us to make that leap, what it was like for what I call the era of Native American independence for 14,000 years, where we lived here and we got along with nature. Because so much of what we do now is past that point. So we have to be creative in our thinking and kind of have a vision, not looking backwards, but looking underneath of what we see today.
Mm-hmm. So it's more perhaps an energy that shows up in the art that you create?
An imagination and really empathy too, emotion.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, were you drawn to something very specific in Galen's or Dale's work such that immediately you thought their work needs to be part of this exhibition?
Yeah, well, we're fortunate that both created new works for this exhibition and we were able to bring this to fruition because of relationship building. And I really like the word that you're using, Galen, of remembering, because I think it's about like listening and paying attention to work that is happening. And both of these two incredible individuals, as well as others that have been involved, have such a long, rich practice that it's about being responsible to listen to that, not, just paying attention is such an act of love, and it's an act of love not only for the individuals in their work, but the histories and the legacies that they're carrying through their family stories that they've shared with us. So I think it was really that kind of deep connection that both had that really drew us to work, Aline and I, to working with them.
Yeah. We need to take a quick break. When we return, we'll continue our conversation about the Contemporary Art Museum's new exhibit, Make the River Present, and off-site activations engaging the Missouri and Mississippi rivers that is part of this exhibition. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from GEMMA, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at jemastl.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Michelle Dezember, Galen Gritz, and Dale Chambers. We're talking about a new contemporary art museum exhibit that explores the connections between the St. Louis region and its people's relationships with the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. Make the River Present features sculptures, cartography, and poetry from Black and Indigenous people in the U.S. Here's artist and exhibition co-curator Alina Brazier reciting her poem titled River.
River north to south, river south to north, freedom, survival. River east to west, river west to east, freedom, survival. River float, river drown, river keep me quiet. River revive, flow, carry me, ends of the shore. River connect or block, passages of long, lost, found.
That was Alina Brazier reciting her poem, River. Galen, rivers flow in your writing too, and a haiku of yours is displayed at the Make the River Present exhibit. We'd like to hear that from you.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. River is a verb. Surprise. It is both action and state of being.
So, Galen, what do you mean when you say river is both action and a state of being?
Well, that's the traditional definition of a verb that you learn in elementary or middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Most Native American languages have more verbs than Indo-European languages. And in fact, Algonquin is probably 90% verbs. Keep in mind, we did not have written languages. So we talk in terms of being active, and being aware.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think a river is, because if you stand there for any length of time, even just 15 minutes, the light of the sun through the trees to the clouds, the river itself is moving, you'll see different animals, maybe a boat or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's never just a thing. It is alive.
Right, right. When you write about rivers, Galen, what sentiments or histories are you trying to evoke for readers?
Well, one is that water is so foundational to us. I mean, we're mainly water anyway, as far as our composition. And we tend to forget that. And that also separates us from community, because we're so much separated today, obviously in modern America because of politics, but just because of electronics.
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly kind of navel gazing. We're looking at things that we choose to look at, and that breaks down this feeling of community with real people in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may sound very, very hopeful and romantic. Having relationships with people in real time sometimes is annoying and boring. But we have to do that. We have to reclaim that ground and that space.
Yeah. And what is life without romance of different kinds? Dale, when you heard Galen recite that haiku, I mean, what was that bringing to mind for you? And not just Galen's work, but also Alina's too.
Now, I'm a strong supporter of most of the things that Galen says. We have a kinship in thought and life practice. The one thing that I will say is that I'm a part of a international movement that believes that water bodies are sentient beings. And I would expand that to say that any large amount of elemental things from nature are also sentient beings, such as the trees and the soil, that is all connected through this water container we all live in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I strongly affirm everything that Galen is saying, as well as challenge us again for a different challenge to consider our relationship to water, the rivers, especially with us being in this convergence. Many people go out of town to go to Arizona for their metaphysical experience.
Mm-hmm.
But for us to stay here at home, if we live in St. Louis, and look to the river to provide that same energetic impact.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you will be doing, Dale, is leading an experience that is part of make a river present. I mean, CAM is just down the block from here, and the river is not very far away. There'll be gatherings that'll be taking place. Tell us about the water ceremony that you'll be hosting in June and what people can expect.
Most cultural references tell us that any action that's done repetitive with intention is ritual. And anytime where we're in community that and we do ritual, that then becomes a ceremony. In our ceremony, we're going to honor the water in our own bodies, as well as orient ourselves towards the river through intention. And we'll go through a religious practice to ground ourselves together in community with the river and the people around us.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that you have contributed is a piece called A River Journey, and I had an opportunity to go and see the exhibit over the weekend, and I was looking at A River Journey, Dale. I was really taken by the details in the material that you used. I looked at it very closely. You know, there are wooden beads, there's jewelry, and the fibers intertwined really made me think, you know, almost immediately of locks of hair. What is it that was on your mind as you were creating this very long piece?
As a land steward, I spent a lot of time responding to the environment around me. In my own social art practice, I journeyed the river between St. Louis and Memphis and then to Sunflower River in Mississippi as a regular scheduled part of my practice of research. Mm-hmm. Along the river, we find animals, we find seeds, many of them indigenous to this land. We find rubbish, as I mentioned earlier. We find folklore and myth, like as you see in the blue gourds and blue bottles that are also a part of my piece.
Mm-hmm.
And what better way cross-culturally to represent beyond my identity the shared understanding between Black and Indigenous folks than to braid that all together? And so, and not only am I reflecting on our relationship to the river through the materials, but that symbol of braiding and the act of using my muscles to do something so ancient that brings together so many indigenous people, not only on this continent, but in the global majority, I thought was the best way for me to express the impact of the second largest river in this country that is also likened to the Nile in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Galen, have you had a chance to walk through the exhibit and see the other pieces?
I did.
What did you think looking at what Dale created, especially given, you know, what you had mentioned about the way the river will change if you stand in one spot and just sort of watch what flows by?
I'm convinced, maybe more recently than before, that art is extremely important to people, whether they know it or not, because it is a form of dreaming, and it is a form of dreaming individually, but also as a community. And everything that we do now was somebody's dream before,
mm-hmm.
and especially now as things are kind of decentralized, it's important that we have, again, that sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. It was a great space. I thought it was a good use of space. It was a fantastic statement of art. They're together and yet separate.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could say that maybe you are biased because you've contributed to it, but I can really feel, you know, the genuine sort of feeling that you have about this. Now, Michelle, there will also be a river excursion and an Eads Bridge gathering coming up. What will be happening there?
Yeah, when we were thinking about this, and I should say too, you know, my background is I'm kind of primarily identify as an educator, and I primarily identify as a people convener. And so this exhibition was really just a chance to bring people together, people that I really respect and want to learn more about. So the idea of having programs and gatherings was always really important to us. And having those be some at the museum, like the water ceremony that Dale is hosting with us, using the museum as a space for gathering, being together in community. But also it was really important to think about CAM not just as a physical space where things can happen, but how we can encourage people to pay attention outside in their life on a day-to-day basis and what they can do with that same creativity that they might be inspired by seeing. So there's a program on May 31st, actually up at Chain of Rocks Park. I learned recently that that's where the remains of the Pruitt-Igoe housing was buried in a landfill. And so we're having a conversation with Native Women's Care Circle about how nature can heal human-made wounds and how to be in right relationship with the watershed. So that'll be on May 31st. There's Dale's convening of the water ceremony at CAM. And then the day after, we will also be hosting a river excursion where with Dr. Treasure Shields Redmond, Dale, the Black Heritage Water Trail, which is an initiative, an interactive map that maps out important sites of Black history across the rivers, will actually be activating these sites of consciousness and inviting people to remember and reconnect with these stories. And then finally, the Eads Bridge, which is a site that's really important to Alina, will be, kind of be our bookend for the exhibition and gathering at the Eads Bridge for the story that she shared with us, so personal to her, how it's also a shared experience for us, whether it's Alina or someone like me who just moved here recently.
Michelle Dezember is Director of Learning and Engagement at the Contemporary Art Museum. Dale Chambers is a multidisciplinary artist, and Galen Gritz is a writer and speaker. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.